right, good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high to be able to have folks like that singing, magnifying the Lord and being able to worship the Lord with us in spirit and truth. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, into the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5. If you find the place and you're able to stand, we'll begin with about verse number 16. Now the Bible said, rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Now, obviously, we don't have rejoicing in our life. Obviously, if we're not seeking the face of the Lord in a spirit of attitude in prayer, if obviously that if we're not giving thanks unto God, that we're going to quench the Spirit. And he said, despise not prophesying. And prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free is our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on it needs to be right as well as look right. Whatever it is you're doing ought to be right. But more than that, it ought to look right. Have you ever seen anybody doing anything that didn't look so right? You say, well, it wasn't anything wrong with it and all of that. Well, if it don't look right, it's not right. And let me just say to you, not only do we need to make sure that it's right, but we make sure that we abstain from the appearance of evil and all that business there. I used to like drinking IBC root beer, but it comes in that brown bottle. And of course, I still like it. And I thought, well, I'm not going to have that. Somebody be seeing that and stick it in a little brown paper sack. Well, that's worse. I mean, at least the other way they could see IBC written on it. And all that business right there. But you put it inside that, and they don't know if it's an IBD. I'd be drunk. See what I'm talking about? When God said, let not your good be evil spoken of, not only is what we're doing got to be right, but it's got to appear right as well. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out we live in a world of backward thinking. I don't tell you right now, the Bible said over the book of Isaiah, don't turn there, chapter 5, verse number 20. You'll find out is that that's a crowd that calls good evil. They call evil good. And as a result of that, you're going to find out that they've got things just turned around backwards in their mind. Now, I want to tell you something about the Lord and the word of the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord and I change not, God said. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out we're going to see a lot of people that are going to come and go, and we've done that already in these last 30 years. We're not only that, we've seen a lot of preachers come and go, rise and fall, that if you will, please. I'm not talking about here, but I'm talking about that we know of across the country. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out that it deals with, in this chapter, it deals with the coming of the Lord. I don't know if you recognized it lately or not, but Jesus Christ is going to come again, and the signs of the time are greater than they've ever been. And make no mistake about it that he promised he would come, he will come, and he will not tarry. Over there in the Bible, whenever you begin to read about that, you'll find that we're reading about prayer here in this lesson there. We're to pray without ceasing. That means you're to go in the attitude of prayer. I mean, you can't be on your knees somewhere, all of that. You want somebody to think you're a crazy running turkey? You can't be on your knees somewhere everywhere. Hey, you're going to have to get up, and we've got some framing to do. We've got some PR work that needs to be done. We've got some cleaning up here that needs to be. We've got to have some stuff. This is not all going to be a time of luxury and laziness. I mean, you've got to finally present your petition unto the Lord and leave it there with him. in this lesson here, you're going to find out that there's got to be a preparation involved, not only some prayer that's involved, but the Bible said, prove in all things, whether they be right or wrong in the sight of God. You know, it's not hard to get people to side with you on whatever issue you may come up with, but let me tell you, God may not go along with it. In this Bible lesson, the Bible said, prove all things, mean there's an examination going to be involved. Remember over there in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8, about verse number 2 and 3, you're going to find out that when he led them out in the wilderness, you find out he humbled them, he proved thee to know what was in their heart. And let me say to you that if you will, he brought us out of that place and brought us to here. And the reason being is because of the fact they wanted to prove what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. Don't lose your text here because it's very vital, but look in the book of Ezekiel, if you will. Over there in the book of Ezekiel, there's a chapter there in chapter number 22, if I've got it right, that we're going to be looking at. We'll be looking back over there to our text, but I want you to notice, if you will, please, in the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 22. And you can mark the place there and you can hold it there. Now look back in our text that, if you will, and the Bible says, is that in verse number 21 of our text, he said, prove all things and hold that fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Now I want you to notice that whenever you see that and when you recognize that, is that you're going to find out that what God wants to do is he wants us to be able to prove in verse number 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. And he says, and I want to be able to sanctify you wholly and preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord. And let me tell you right now is that you, when you and I come to the Lord, we want to be able to prove what is acceptable unto God and what is not acceptable unto God. Did you notice over there in the book of Ezekiel, over there in the book of Ezekiel, that there's a chapter that's there that we're going to be looking at? And it's also in the book of Romans in chapter number 12, and there's a passage there that we ought to look at as well. Romans in chapter number 12, and we'll look at that one first. All right, in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, and about verse number 2. In the lesson there we're looking at, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Now I'm going to tell you, you're either going to submit to the Lord or be conformed to the world, one or the other. He said, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you know what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is? Over there in the book of Ezekiel, it's the same thing that I look for a man to stand in the gap. That's what the GAP is. It's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Back over there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. And notice, if you will, please, at about verse number 28. And the prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them. And thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. And then he said, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and they've vexed the poor, the needy, and they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that I should make up the hedge, stand in the gap. You know what that means, don't you? That means the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And he said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I got to tell you something, is that when you begin to read over there in the passage that we've read, you're going to find out that God's looking for a man. He's looking for somebody that can listen to the mind of God, the message of God, have the boldness that God can give them to speak the blessed word of the Lord without fear, without favor. Now, let me tell you right now, when you're proving all things in the sight of God, you're going to have to use the word of the Lord, the leadership of the Holy Spirit to prove that. Now, you know, in this building here, all of us, we don't have anybody like this. We don't have anybody so like this. All of you are good folks and right and up front and honest and so forth and on. But I got to tell you right up front, in the day and hour that we're living in, something's radically gone wrong in the field that we serve in. Now, I want to say to you that it's good to be able to know the Lord and to be able to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. You know, as a family here, you can always look around. I've been doing this a long time. I can look around on you at a time or two. Most of the time, you know, if you're sitting there in onslaught and you don't really care, I may not care either. And as a result of that, you know, I'm not going to notice nothing. But if I pay attention to what's going on, I can look at your family and tell where you're at. See? I can look at your family and tell if you're treating them right or not, whether you're a man or a woman. Listen, every woman ought to be happy in the Lord, and instead of having a husband barking at and biting at and wanting to kick her behind all the time. Thank you for the, you're right, I'm glad, and I know, and I appreciate the one right. But I'm a bulldog when I know I'm right. And let me say to you that, if you will, that, hey, let me say to you that, ladies, is that it's a two-part thing. There ought to be some love in your house instead of some hell raging all the time. And you can look around on the faces of these men, how you doing? You can tell if they're just kind of dragging through life or not. I got to tell you, your home ought to be the happiest place on the face of this earth. Not Disneyland, not Disney World. I know that's a happy place, but I can't afford to go there very often. But I can afford to go to the house of God and to be listening to the word of the Lord. I can do that. And I got to tell you right now, there ought to be some happiness, and we ought to be able to have some heaven in our home and in our heart to be able to go to heaven in. And you can tell sometime, not every time, can you pin a label on that, you know. I mean, every now and again, you want to walk up to somebody, hey, Chief, what's the matter with you? You look a little draggy today. Something going on? What's the matter with you? I mean, I know that. But it ought not to be that way often. It ought not to be that way often. It ought to be to where that our home ought to be the happiest place on the face of this earth, and that our children ought to know it. I can tell you right now, is whenever I was growing up, and I know it's hard for you to remember that whenever I can remember some of these things when I was growing up, but I barely can. But I can tell you what right up front is that whenever I came to realize that, oh, that one of these days I'm going to probably look for a wife. And I did. I did. And I found one. She's sitting right back there. And I want to tell you something right now. Do you know that all that I ever wanted out of a wife, I wanted somebody that could love me and care for me as much as my mama did for my daddy. Now, that'll be the example you're leaving behind. And so as a result of that, you know, it ought not to be that we're always trying to get away from home. We ought to be glad that we can go to the house of God with our family and with our friends and so forth and on. And if you don't have that, you're missing out on a lot, let me tell you right up front. I'm not looking for a reason to be able to get away from home. I'm looking for a reason to be able to ship some of them kids off. But I'm not wanting to get away from them and to get away from home. And you know the reason being, don't you? They didn't ask to be brought into this world. That was a product of you and I. And they ought to have somebody loving them and helping them and encouraging them every step of the way in life. You know, when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you'll find it's an unusual thing, the family that we have. Do you know my mother-in-law and I never had one crossword between us? Never one time. I know you're not saying anything, and so just shut up. But it'd be better you didn't say nothing. You can't. I just said all that to be able to say that that's an unusual thing. I said all that to be able to know that, hey, listen, I knew that I was going to marry that gal. If she had had me, I knew I was going to marry her within a week after that we started going together. I didn't want to make some other pimple-faced, cross-eyed-looking, buck-teeth, crazy East Texas boy to be able to have a shot at her. But, you know, you can't get married whenever you're 14. Well, I mean, I guess you could. We went together for 2 years, and after that, I went out there on that porch there and asked her daddy. Now, this is a fun trip. I said, if you'll let me marry Janice, and let me tell you right now, is she just as pure as she was the day I first met her, and let me tell you something else on top of that, we hadn't done anything. There's nothing we're in trouble about. We've been upfront and been respectable. And if you'll let me marry her, I'll promise to love her the rest of my life. And he said, you know, I believe I will. And he did. Now, that's not the rule of thumb, by the way. Don't run out of here tonight and you boys go to think of some gal you want to marry. Well, a preacher said that's unusual. And that's too young to get married. See? What are you laughing about there? You're not, you got somebody or you ain't got somebody that's going to pop the question to you, are you? But your day's coming. Your day's going to come. I said all that to be able to say this, is that we ought to not only look right, but be right and abstain from that which is evil, the Bible said. And let me tell you right now is, all my kids, they know. And of course, you know, let me tell you right now, when you've got as many kids and grandkids as I've got, you better get all living and laughing and loving you can in, because you won't be able to with the door opening up and closing and all that right. Where y'all at? What y'all doing? See? You ought to have some heaven to be able to go to heaven in. And I believe that all of you, and most of you here in this building here tonight, that you know that. I thought everybody was going to be involved in it, but now I begin to have a few little questions in this. But God said to prove all things, prove all things. I guarantee you right now is you're going to find out that we'll be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't let the world dictate to you what you ought to be thinking and how you ought to be acting and what you ought to be doing. Listen, there's no entity, there's no system on the face of this earth. Did I vote for Donald Trump? Yes, I did. Am I happy with everything he does? No, I am not. Do I believe he's heaven bound? I certainly do not. I just believe he loves America. But I'm a little bit skeptical, you know, that he's put a Kennedy over our snacks and foods and stuff like that. I mean, there's a guy that can't even talk. There's a guy got something radically wrong with him, wanting to tell me what I can, can't eat, and if I want a Twinkie, I can't have one because it's not good for you. Yeah. There ought to be some proving contest that goes on and before people get to where they just swallow everything up, hook, line, and sinker. Here's what you ought to ask if you're going to prove what's right in the sight of God. Number one is it going to please the Lord? Number two is it in accordance to the word of the Lord? Number three is, will it cause a young Christian to stumble? Number four is, will it cause a sinner to repent and believe the gospel? Whatever that we're going to prove all things, the Bible said. Let me tell you something, how we look, where we go, and what we do, all that's very vital, and it's all very important. Now, we don't want to be pharisaical about it, and we don't want to try to go to weighing my sin no worse than so-and-so's sin, so it's all right. Well, okay, good. Let's just sin both these times. That's kind of where we're at in the world we're living in. I got to tell you, it involves how you look, your dress, your attire, your apparel, your hair, and all that business there. You know, the next time you see a man with long hair, go up and ask him, hey, what does 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 14 mean to you? Do you know you don't even have to have a Bible for God to be able to do it? Not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. But if a woman have long hair, it's an honor and a glory unto her. I got to say to you that we could just move on hastily and hurriedly. Is that God's interested in our diet and our drink and all that business there. You know, I've never had many people, but I always try to cover that base and all that business there, is that we're not for dancing. We're not a honky-tonk dancing bunch. Every time I ever do a wedding and all that, some of the best people I thought that I ever had in my life, the girls would ask me, do you care if me and my daddy have a last dance? I sure do, because we're not heathens. The only time you find dancing in the Bible was whenever there was a young woman that was dancing in front of Herod. Obviously, he was kin to her, and his lust aroused so much that he promised half of the kingdom to her. And she wanted, by her evil mother, she wanted John the Baptist's head took off because she didn't like the way he was preaching and what he was preaching and embarrassing her with his preaching. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that it's sort of like, you know, and it's not a good embarrassment. We went out there to the graveside the other day and a little bit there and for Christmas time, you know, and do a few little things, this and that. And of course, you know, naturally, I've got a tombstone over there, and several of us laid down where they could take a picture because Andrew said it's embarrassing to be able to have a tombstone and nobody in the grave. Now, why that embarrasses him, I don't know. Did you lay down there and get your picture with us? We don't have to be embarrassed no more. I said all that just to be able so that you'd realize and recognize and know is that you'll find is that there was a man that had his head taken off of him because of the fact that he preached a sermon that was very pointed toward Herod, and it made Herodias mad and so forth and on. I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that our doctrine, we ought to prove it, and that it not be the doctrine of devils, but it be the doctrine of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to say to you that, if you will, celibacy, where you're not allowed to marry in the Roman Catholic Church, the Bible said that's a doctrine of a devil. The pretense of long prayers for women to be able to get their money, that's a pretense of long prayer. The doctrine of Immaculate Conception, about the virgin birth, about Mary being virgin born as well and all of that, that's a heresy. It's a doctrine of a devil. The doctrine of purgatory, the doctrine of the Mass, we go on and on and on. I want to say to you that it better be according to the blessed word of the Lord. I want to close with this one passage here over in the book of Ecclesiastes, because it tells you and it sums up the whole duty of man. It's in Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12. If you'd like to turn to it, you can. If not, you can just listen to it. But in Ecclesiastes in chapter number 12, verse number 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, I'm going to tell you, if God's going to bring some stuff like that up, well, we better be on our best behavior between now and then. See? I wonder tonight, do you know Him and the free pardon of sin? I trust you shall if you do not, and I trust that you already do while you prove and hold fast those things that are right and good. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we thank you now for the goodness of God. We ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you for it. We praise you, thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. Now I pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray.